Right, so we're kings. I'm going to read to you from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and it's very similar to what Emma read out earlier. Which says, "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." It's one of my favorite verses about church in the Bible. It's a good news announcement. Once you were nobodies. Let me be honest with you, all right? This is the bad news. This is what the good news speaks into. Once you were nobodies. All of us were nobodies, you know. We may have had a sort of little bit of success in the world, you know, in our careers, maybe play for the Queen or whatever, you know, all these things. But at the end of the day, we're all nobodies in the light of eternity. You're anonymous people with no real importance, no real purpose. But now the gospel says you are the people of God. The people of God. Once you were without mercy, but now you have received God's mercy. Once you were aliens to God, but now you have found mercy and you are God's people. Reconciled and brought near to God. This is good news, okay? I joke about the Queen, but it's a great analogy in the sense that actually she's a nobody, really. In eternity terms, and except actually, I think we know that she is one of God's people too. We're a chosen people. We're chosen for a purpose, God's purpose. It says here we're a royal priesthood. I like that because it does tie in with our church title, our church name. We are the King's Church. We're a royal priesthood, a royal priesthood. Now we're all called to be priests. Did you know that? We have this idea called the priesthood of all believers. It's a sort of a doctrinal thing that we believe in as a church. And what that means is that every Christian and everyone in this church is a priest. Yeah? That doesn't mean we wear special robes. And, you know, often people think of priests as this kind of aloof, elite group of people that sort of, they stand at a distance. But actually this should be quite the opposite. That the priests are the people who are just ordinary people, but chosen by God to be ministers of him. And they're like the interface between God and mankind. And so they represent the people to God, and then they represent God to the people. So as Jesus' priests, the royal priesthood, the priesthood of believers who we are, we're to intercede for the world around us. We're to pray and we're to worship, and through that we make our the representation of the world to God. But also we're to minister Jesus to the world. We're to represent God to the world. We're to be his hands and his feet, his voice in the world. And chosen to do the things that Jesus would himself do. So we're, all of us are chosen to be priestly ministers of the kingdom of God. We are king. And so as a church, we're to mirror and represent Jesus to the world. And to declare his praises, who's called us out of darkness into his wonderful light. And there's a lot of Jesus to show the world, isn't there? You know, this is what I'm saying. To summarize the church in 4 weeks is quite difficult to talk about it. To summarize Jesus in 400 years will be quite difficult to do. You know, there is so much of Jesus to show the world. He is our great King. If you think about his power and his holiness, his wealth, his wisdom, his glory, his justice, his love, his creativity, his grace, his mercy, his judgment, his salvation, his righteousness, his sovereignty, any one of those things. If you took any one of those things, just to think on those, that just for, you could spend a whole lifetime, couldn't you? Just think on the justice of Jesus, or the mercy of Jesus, or the sovereignty of Jesus. So there's a lot of Jesus to explore. There's a lot of Jesus to share. But I want us to remember that we're a chosen people, and we're chosen to share and minister Christ as a royal priesthood. I was been thinking on, you know, that verse that Anu and Emma brought to the church, and Sheila's, I don't know if you printed it out yet. Now I need to talk to, yeah, we need to talk to Judy, don't we? That from Jeremiah 1, which talks about God saying, you've heard correctly, and I will fulfill my word. But then I was going through that earlier in that chapter. Jeremiah is kind of having a little bit of a wobble, and if I'm honest, I had a bit of a wobble this morning. And he says, you know, basically, who am I? I'm just a kid. I don't know what I'm talking about. And Jeremiah goes and reminds him that before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you, and you're not here by accident. And I want us to know, as priests, the royal priesthood here, a priesthood of believers that we have here at King's Church, you're not here by accident. You know, some of us have been around a long time. Some of us have been around here a long, long time. And some of us have been here a short time. But all the way through, God knew that you were going to be here today. God knew that you were going to be part of this church at this time. And God has a reason for that, for each one of us. And this, I'm just thinking about this this idea of a priesthood of all believers. You know, I think it's great that Mr. Williams started this church. Mr. Williams, not Reverend Williams or Sir Williams, anything. He was just a regular guy, in a sense. Everyone was called Mr. in those days, weren't they? That was just Mrs. Bland and Mrs. Welch, and that's how we referred to one another. It wouldn't have been Emma and Margaret, but that's just, so it's not a formal title, really. It's just how people spoke of one another. But it's just Mr. Williams. And we're all the same in that sense. So I think that really speaks into who we are. We're a priesthood of believers, and all of these things of Christ, all these things of Jesus, there's so much that he's given us to explore and to share with one another. We're not here by accident. Right, moving on. I was going to focus on Romans chapter 12. So if you'd like to turn to Romans chapter 12, there's my... can never tire reading Romans, by the way. I'm going to read you the first little bit of this, first eight verses of Romans chapter 12. It says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing and perfect will. For that by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I think what Margaret shared at communion, this idea, dry stone wall thing, the different shaped stones. I think this is what this passage is speaking a lot about, you know, where there's different parts of the body, we're not all the same, we may look a bit odd, some of us, you know, and maybe you pick up the stone and you think, where's this one going to fit? But actually, a master stone waller will just think, ah, yeah, I know where that slots. It will fit in there. This passage speaks how we operate as a royal priesthood. One body with many parts. Each part doesn't have the same function. Different gifts, according to the grace given to us. You need to remember that all of this is grace given. Yeah, it's not like I'm better than you or, you know, I've got this. But everything that we have from God, everything we have is a grace gift anyway. But it's recognizing that. These are God's things. And the gifts that we talk about here, the gifts that God shares in his church, I want us just to think about this. This is not just human skills that God makes better. But actually, these are just elements of God that he gives to us that we may share with one another. So that's where the grace comes in. You know, how can I teach you from the Bible? Except if it's a grace gift to me. You know, I'm just me. My friend Ian Stackhouse, I've probably said this before, but he was asked, why do you believe in God? And he said, because I preach. What do you mean? That if there wasn't a God, I would have nothing to say. If there wasn't a God, I wouldn't have a message every single week. And I believe that it is a grace given to me that I have something. I hope you think I have something to say. I feel that I have something to say each week because God has given it to me. But that's a grace gift. That's me, but for each of us it's a different thing. There are different elements of God, there are different parts of God who he gives to us, each one of us, to share, to make up the body of Christ. And if you think about it then, there's endless possibilities to where we go in exploring these gifts. Because there's endless possibilities to God, isn't there? If we were just talking about my gift, and what I can do, then there's a pretty short span on how far we're going to go with that. But we're talking here about God and his gift, and so the possibilities are endless. And so whatever God has given you, whatever area of himself he's given to you as a gift, then dig into it, explore it, because there's a lot of it. There's a lot of it for you to explore and for you to share. Explore the fullness of everything God has given, and which might take you beyond what's comfortable. It will definitely take you beyond what's familiar. I think we all enjoy something that is familiar. I think, right, okay, I know how church works. It does that. We do a few songs, and then he stands up and speaks, and we go home, and everyone feels good. But maybe God would challenge us to go beyond that. I like it from time to time when Emma starts the service. We're going to do things slightly differently today. Well, we're going beyond a little bit familiar there, because God, there's more to God than we realize. Push into those things. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 starts off by saying, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. So give yourselves to exploring the fullness of God, exploring the fullness of the gifts that he's given. Now, oftentimes when we talk about these things, then fear comes in, like it does with me. You know, I believe God's given me something to say, but then quite a lot of the times I think, really, I doubt myself, because I think about myself. Am I good enough? Will I better do this? I'm not able to do this, you know. Who am I to be able to do this? That kind of thing. But then we need to remember that these gifts come as grace to us, undeserved gift. And we need to remember that something we talked about at the beginning, we are heirs to the inheritance of God. Each one of us. So it's by grace. We're a chosen people, and we all have something to share. We all have something to share in Christ, and we all have something to share of Christ. We all have a role to play in the church, a vital role. And so it says here in Romans, if your gift is to prophesy, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If your gift is to serve, then serve. If your gift is to teach, then teach. If your gift is to encourage, then encourage. If your gift is to contribute, then do it generously. Now, I don't know about you, but I tend to look at lists like that and switch off quite quickly, because it starts with prophecy, and I think, whoa, prophecy's pretty heavy. I don't know about that. And it's a bit too spiritual, a bit too sort of out there for me. I want to say, first of all, prophecy isn't, and it shouldn't be. And I'm really pleased that a number of us are going on this prophecy school that we have spoken about. And there's still space to it, so if you want to go, then do sign up. And I do pray that the prophetic gifts impacts us and challenges us as a church, and that we grow in that. Because I think it's a vital and important gift. But don't look at a list like this and switch off and thinking, oh, this is all talking about super spiritual stuff, which is not me, which that we'll leave that for another day, whether that's right or not. Because next on the list is a very practical gift. If your gift is to serve, then serve. If your gift is to encourage or contribute, then do it. There's a variety of gifts here in the body. Because there's a variety to God. There's a breadth to God that goes way beyond what you can imagine. And these are his gifts, his giving of himself. So don't hold back. Whatever you've been given, give it freely. Whatever you have, we're told here to use it. So if you're an encourager, then encourage. Yeah? Encouragers are not much use if they don't speak. Yeah? Just sort of looking at someone and kind of... we need some kind of something more than just, you know. So if you're an encourager, then go for it. If, it says here, if you're a contributor to the needs, then give generously. Don't hold back. Whatever it is, do it. Whatever you've been given to do. And so we're talking about pledging today. I hope you got that email that I sent out. And I'm going to ask people for you to consider how you can give yourself to the mission and the ministry of the church. Whatever it is, don't hold back. And on that note as well, don't feel as though you've got to do something that isn't yours to do. But whatever it is yours to do, then do it. Offer it and offer it fully and wholeheartedly. You know, there's a verse that says, I urge you, in view of God's mercy, to offer yourselves as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. This is what we're talking about here in Rome. So, in view of this, I really believe we all have something to share. We all have gifts to share. We all have things that we can pledge. And I've sort of broken it down into things that we can do with our time, things we can do with our prayer, things we can do with our finances. But there's a lot more to it, by the way. That's just three categories that I've chosen. And I'd like us just to consider how we can offer ourselves to the church in these things. And so... actually, there's a PowerPoint, Pledges PowerPoint. John, are you able to put that up? I think Keith's in meditation. So these are just suggestions, okay? These aren't a definitive list. Next one, please. And next one, yep. So, in prayer, you know, I could offer myself in prayer. I don't know if you take a regular moment each week to pray for the church in some way. And there's, because the church is so big, you know, I'm asking maybe we can specifically say, right, I'm gonna pledge to pray for Cap. Or each month, I'm going to pray for Feast. Or one of our mission partners. Or particularly for the leaders. We're told in Scripture to pray for our leaders. Believe me, I could do with that. You know? So I want you to consider that. And then, but you may think, actually, no, I've got something else in here. Not even on the list. But then that's between you and the Lord. Okay? And I'm not here to mark your paper with a piece of red biro, by the way. All right? I'm not going to... I've only put one thing down the prayer list. You know, so you this is for you. And it, okay, next one, please. Offer your time. There's a whole load of things that you could pledge to offer. And again, you can go way beyond this. But for some of us, it's just to be here on Sunday. I'm going to do that. To others, it's be here on early on a Sunday. I might have mentioned that before. So those are kind of basic things, all right? As church, we but it's important that... we can pledge those things. I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to commit to this. Some things that you may have not thought about, you know, maybe one of our mission partners, maybe Elam or Paul Benison, consider going and doing a trip with them. Taking the time. I really think this is an important, as we take on mission partners formally, that we could actually say, yeah, I could go there and bring a bit of that. Because we talked about this reciprocal thing, not us just giving money to them, but actually saying, what they've got going on there, we want to see that. We want to see some more healing. We want to see some that passion for Christ in the way, that, or passion for the word that they have. Just consider that. Consider being a Cap befriender. Cap, we know, you know, Daniel is looking for more befrienders. He's looking for more volunteers. If you want to know what that involves, then speak to him, because it may be not as time intensive as you expect, because there's a pool of befrienders. So it's not like you're doing it in a week. Another thing, putting those dates up. Just devote your time to some of these the milestone things in our church calendar. So the dates I've already put up. Okay, and then finally, thank you very much. Are these just suggestions? Just suggestions. And this is helpful for us as a church to plan, to pledge a certain amount of finance per month, per week, however you do your giving to the church. And that would be helpful for us to know how to budget. To consider other offerings we take. To consider, this food box has become a little bit sort of sorry, I would say, over the last few months. So I think to pledge, yeah, I will get a tin each week, or I will get a packet of dried pasta or whatever every month. Every 6 months, whatever you can do. Another one to consider is we have our church offering, but also CAP is kind of separately funded in a sense. You know, Daniel's salary and all the stuff to do with CAP. So whether you would consider funding, you know, giving an offering to that as well. And I think it's good. I think it's good to do this pledging, because in my mind I've been thinking, yeah, I'd like to give something to CAP every month. I think it's right for me to do that, to our CAP thing. Have I got round to doing it? No, thank you, yes. So I'm thinking, here's a moment for me to sort of, I'm going to write down a piece of paper and I'm going to be accountable to myself and to everybody else here. I'm going to do this. And this is not a boast or anything. I'm just going to just tell you, because then I'm accountable to you. And then I'm going to write down a piece of paper. Then you can say, next week, please do ask me, have you set up the direct debit? Because that's the next step, you know, actually putting it into action. But it's one of those things where, actually, let's just take the moment to think, yeah, I've been meaning to do this for quite a while, but maybe now's the time to do it. In fact, no, now is the time to do it, not maybe. So I've got these. Now, here's how we can do this. There's a little tear-off slip here for your financial pledge. Now, you may think, well, I'm just going to keep it as it is. Fine. That's fine. Again, just helps us. Then the bits at the top, maybe something you can put on your fridge just to remind you, or whatever. I've pledged to pray for... I've pledged to give my time to this. I've pledged to offer. So would you mind passing those around? Do we need pens as well? I didn't get any scissors in. I should have gone to raid the Sunday school cupboard so we can cut our slips off at the bottom. You can fold and tear. If you don't know how to fold and tear. Thank you. You don't have to do it today. If you want to take more time to think about it, then that's fine. Ideally, I suppose, maybe we can take these up. We can collect them. If you want to do it today, actually, if you're ready to do it today, let's do it today. But we'll definitely collect them up next week so that we've got something we can... we still have a service, though. I will do. I have done. But what I would recommend is people are very good. I'm very good at folding it up, putting it in my pocket, and thinking at 10:29 next week and going, I forgot to do that. So I will send out an email reminder this week just to nudge. Yes, Keith. Yeah, that's a good point. If you are a regular giver and a taxpayer, or even if you're an irregular giver actually and a taxpayer, whatever you give to the church, if if you haven't got it, if it isn't already gift aided, then we get, I think, 25% back from the government if you're a taxpayer. So if you want to know about a gift aid form, then talk to Anu later or myself, and we'll sort that out for you. Let me pray while people are doing that, and then we'll close with a song. Lord, we thank you for this church. We thank you for all that you are doing here, all that you are and all you are in us, and all that we are in you. And so I pray this morning you would give us faith to offer ourselves to you, just as you've offered yourself for us. Give us faith to offer ourselves generously and by your grace, enable us to grow as a church, to grow as people. Lord, we desire to see this church and the ministry of this church grow into the fullness of who you are. We desire to see the lost reached. We desire to see ourselves grow closer with you, and that we would draw others with us. And so I pray with our time and with our prayer, and with our money, that we would offer ourselves to you in ways that would see your kingdom built. Lord, so I want to pray all these pledges and these commitments we're making, they're between us and you, really. And so I pray as we do this, let this be our offering to you. Let this be how we offer ourselves. Let this be how we offer ourselves as a spiritual act of worship to you. And we look for your blessing on it. And we look for your face to shine on it. Thank you, Lord.